The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, send a message. Aaron will read it. Twitter is at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. Know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Miss the first hour? Pretty much all college basketball. You know what? There are shows in this city that can actually talk about college basketball and not be making it up.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You know, I tried listening to another station today, both this morning and this afternoon, to hear what they'd say about college basketball, and you know, they really didn't know what the hell they were talking about for the 5 seconds they committed to it. So, you know what? Don't care. I'm as a UH guy, I will proudly wear my Final Four shirt.
It's the way to do it, bro.
Soon as it's available, which I'm sure it is. I haven't actually checked, but I think once the whole Final Four set, they start selling those things, I believe. 713-780-ESPN.
Well, you want a Final Four shirt that has the logos of all four schools, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like those.
Instead of just a generic.
The ones that when back in the day when we got to go to the Final Four, you would always grab either that or a hoodie that had all four of them. I miss those days, damn it.
I do too. I don't think we'd be there this year either way.
No, but you know, I'm hopeful that by the end of the year we're back doing things because we saw the NFL made that 17-game schedule official, which I still don't know how I feel about it. But they also said they hope to have fans in the stands when the season starts at full capacity. I'm guessing we'll get there if everything keeps progressing. Now, I don't know how bad it is around the rest of the country. I know it's getting better here and has been okay for a while, despite everybody wanting to be critical of things reopening. We seem to be pretty – I think it's because everybody's had it. At some point, you run out of human beings to get the damn thing. But, I mean, what are we looking at 50% for the Astros?
Yeah.
I think that's
I think 40 for the first month.
40? Okay.
And they're going to up it, I think.
Okay.
I thought it was 50.
Some reason, 40 sticks out in my mind. I thought all of April they were going to do 40 and then up it after that.
You could be right.
But it's weird, though, because while –
Let's face it, though. It's like opening day is the day that you're going to sell out and then – After right. that, it's...
It probably 40 is the most they're going to do for a while.
Yeah.
Remember, there were times 2 years ago when the Yankees were in town on a Tuesday and it was half full.
Yeah, people aren't clamoring to get in this thing these days.
But it's also weird, though, because just to look at the rest of the world, we do a little Zoom call with my in-laws every Sunday afternoon just to kind of catch up. And, you know, not only... Like, my 80-year-old mother-in-law hasn't been able to get a vaccine yet because they don't have as many in Canada. And it's going really slow up there. And apparently, in your favorite place, Regina, it's gotten very, very bad. Like, they've had just every strain, and the numbers are ridiculous.
I hate a diseased Regina.
I know. I mean, because what's going to happen to you if you go?
I mean, what's worse? What's worse than a diseased Regina?
The disease Koontz? I don't know.
That might be it.
But, yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen. God, this is maybe the worst song ever, but I mean, it's so bad, I love it. How can you not, right?
That's pretty strong.
Oh. All right. Somebody says you should talk college basketball a lot more, especially after the Super Bowl. Frankly, there's just never that much interest in it. I mean, we talk about it a lot because AJ bets on it. But in general, there's just not interest in college basketball until the tournament. And to me, that's what it kind of makes it fun, that everybody else is pretty much jumping in now like, oh, well, we knew this and we knew this. And, you know, I don't know about you. You've probably seen almost every Baylor game this year. I know I have. I've seen a lot. I've seen every UH game. Seen almost every Baylor game. So, I mean, I know what these teams are about. And, you know, I'm not shocked that either one of them's here. And I also, there's a reason why I think UH is going to have a real problem with Baylor. It's because this is UH is a very good basketball team. Baylor's a great basketball team. And doesn't mean you can't beat them. But, yeah, the only thing, the only time Baylor had kind of that rough stretch is when they missed, a week and a half with COVID.
Yeah.
And they came back and they didn't look the same on defense. And guess what? That ship has been righted. Let's let the people weigh in. Carlos, you're on the Blitz.
Yeah, how you doing?
We're doing sports, man.
Yeah, man. So I'm a UH alum, just like you, right?
Well, just like Fred. I couldn't get in last night, I was told.
Okay. Well, you know, I think UH is going to – I'm not going to say they're going to win it all, but I think every team that's in the Final Four has a chance except – well, UCLA is not there yet, so I don't think they got a chance. But I don't think anybody can truly prepare for our defense. Our defense is really – our defense and offensive rebounds. I think one thing UH needs to do is go straight to the basket and get them in foul trouble and loosen up the field instead of just sitting outside the three-point line. Although we can make threes too, but I just personally on the threes, I feel like it's a desperation thing unless you're winning. It just kind of has that desperation mode. If you're behind, you just miss like four shots in a row whenever you could have got like at least three twos and maybe a foul and work on those free throws. But we got a great shot. We got a great shot. Of course, anything can happen. We can win by five or we lose by 20. We're not going to lose by 20. If we lose by anything, I think they got 6.5 under. That's about right if we lose.
Yeah, but, UH is a hard team to blow out, certainly. But it does worry me that they go through these spurts where there's just no offense.
And that can't happen against Baylor.
No, nope.
It just can't. And that's why I'm saying they're going to have to play their best game of the year. And it's possible, but I mean, I already bet Baylor because, like I said, I think it should be an 8-point spread. But all right, let's try Lorenzo. What's up, Lorenzo?
Sports, gentlemen, sports.
Hey,
so this is about Juwan Howard. I want to ask, I mean, my conclusion that I'm coming to, the point that I'm getting to is that, to me, he just looks like the perfect recipe for sustained success at Michigan. With, you know, his age, his relatability, the fact that he's been there before, the fact that he's come from some of the same possible struggles that some of these other kids have. I believe that every kid on there would run through a brick wall if he told him to. So do you all see any future problems, or what future problems do you see for Juwan Howard from not pretty much starting the season as almost a given number one seed? And what deficiencies does he have, if any, do you see?
Yeah, it's hard to point out any deficiencies yet because, I mean, really, he's been fairly blessed from a recruiting standpoint, and that's going to be his strength. I think he's an underrated X's and O's coach. But I think the reason he's underrated is because he's gotten such good talent in there. Like having Wagner and Dickinson and Livers for most of this season is almost, I would say it's unfair. But then when you look at the three guys that Gonzaga has, that they've got three of the best 15 players in the country on their team. That's really unfair. But he's what the new recipe is going to be, I think, because these coaches, especially if you've got a name. And that's a reason why I think Texas, although we'll get into Texas, what I've heard about them recently. But that's why I think there's a push for Texas to hire Royal Ivy, because they've seen it work to an extent with Penny Hardaway. We've seen it work to great success now here with Juwan Howard, certainly. And I think, you know, that's what Indiana, like with them hiring Mike Woodson, I think that's sort of the route that they're trying to go. Former players who they like, who these kids aspire to be like, it's an easy living room visit. It's much easier than getting a living room visit from a 65-year-old white guy, you know?
Yeah, it's usually not him, though. It's usually his bag man, who is a former player.
That's true, but listen, these guys have bags, too.
Yeah, well, but I'm trying to think of the times where it hasn't worked, and like Clyde Drexler obviously didn't work.
That was a disaster.
So, I mean, it can backfire on you.
But Clyde, I mean, you also had no have to be a coach. Clyde wasn't a coach. They literally just tried to hire a name. Royal Ivey's been coaching in the NBA now for the last 6 years. Like, this is that's a guy with some experience. Juwan Howard, he paid his dues. Like, Clyde, that didn't work because he wasn't a coach. He was just a guy that the program, and granted, the program was a total disaster, and they were like, maybe this can get us some sort of leverage.
He packed the place some for momentum. About a month.
Right.
Yeah.
Until they figured out that he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah. And that was the end of that.
All right, one more. Charles, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going sports, Charles.
Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, well.
Hi. Yeah, so I was just going to talk a little bit about U of H. Hello?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes, talk about U of H, please.
Go.
I just want to talk about U of H and the Baylor matchup. I was wondering if you guys think that maybe we can sort of match up with Baylor. Well, one of the things that Baylor has done throughout the year is that they kind of, I guess, like last year's Rockets fit, where they had the small ball lineup where everyone's somewhere between, 6'4 and 6'6. But they can spread you out, and you have to run and chase after them. But the Cougars kind of have the one lineup that can kind of stick with them. The problem is if our offense goes on that stutter where we can't get the basket, to get the ball in the basket, then probably in trouble. But we do have the defensive guards to kind of stick with them. I think the tallest guy in this game is going to be probably 6'8", 6'9". But we have a big that can probably handle him in the paint. So if we can get the game going in the paint, and we can get the scoring going, and we can just stay consistent on scoring, I do think that we have the defense to stand up to them that the teams that they played haven't been able to do. But it's just, where can our offense go? So I was wondering what you guys thought on our defensive matchup against that Baylor squad.
Yeah, I don't know that, the size isn't like, because I don't think size is what would really do UH in, to be honest. I don't think that's what they should be worried about.
Now, if you have a really good athletic big, it's a problem for them, but not many teams have that guy.
But yeah, Baylor doesn't have great size. Mark Vidal plays bigger than 6'5". Matthew Meyer has been playing very well in this tournament. I don't know how sustainable it is. Chechua is he's again a 6'8", 6'9" type. The problem is they all play the same. They're all point guards and they're all power forwards.
Yeah.
That's difficult to defend. I don't care who you are. Like that's tough to defend when you've got multiple ball handlers. And the thing that concerns me most for UH is this Baylor team has six guys, and I'm not talking about like guys who don't get minutes. I'm talking about six guys who get minutes who are between 38 and 45% from three. That's terrifying. If Baylor has an on night from beyond the arc, they can't play with them, because on UH's best night, they can't shoot to keep up with that team. That's the scary thing. I think the key is going to be what it typically is. They're going to have to get a ton of offensive rebounds, and Baylor gives them up. But this is sort of the other side of that coin. Baylor's also a very, very good offensive rebounding team, and they're going to get a lot of their own misses, because part of their being so aggressive on defense is that, like, they give up some offensive rebounds because they're closing out on shooters. So I think both teams will get a lot of their own misses. It just seems like, if you give them both the same amount of shots, that's a tough game for UH to win, right?
Yeah, we're doing a great job of me not talking about this for a couple of days and enjoying last night's game, aren't we?
So, yeah. Want to talk.
And that's fine. That's a caller's fault. But, I mean, it's good insight. I'll save mine for later in the week.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, you did say you already made a bet.
Yeah, I did make a bet. And I mean, there's not anything that I'm disagreeing with here. And I think the big issue
is... Do you make that bet because you think it's a winner, or you make that bet so you'll feel better if they lose?
No, I think it's a winner. I mean, okay. Like I said, I've watched both these teams all year, AJ, and I have no illusions about this. I think Baylor is a better basketball team. I think it's the toughest matchup UH has seen all year. I also think that, yes, they are capable of slowing Baylor down, and defensively there's some things that they match up very well with. But, you know, I've said it all year, the way to beat these guys is get to the foul line, and if you do that, and UH goes on one of its UH beats itself when it can't shoot. It's that simple.
And that is one.
You cannot do that against Baylor.
You know what? I talked about in a couple games. I know I certainly talked about it in the Syracuse game, where one of UH's biggest weaknesses, they foul so much.
Yeah.
And they put their opponents on the line a lot. The one spot where Baylor's not very good.
Not a great foul shooting team.
They're a below average. They're outside the top 200, certainly. I'd have to pull it up exactly. They're outside the top 200 in free throw percentage. So they are not a good free throw shooting team. But they're also not a team that gets to the line a lot, because they prefer to bring the defense out and shoot over them. But as we saw against Kansas. Wisconsin late in that game, if you start to sag out too much, they'll just turn into Dunk City on you and start driving the lane and getting theirs inside. So it's a tough cookie to crack. How about that? Tough nut to crack.
Yeah.
And, but it's not impossible.
No, I mean, I think they can win. And as a fan, I hope they do win. But Chicken Dinner said Fred bet Baylor to jinx. No, I don't ever make bets with emotion. I look at it logically. And you know what? Yeah, if UH doesn't win, I plan to make money off it. What's wrong with that? I just want to wet my beak a little. All right, you talk about ball handlers. We'll get to Deshaun Watson next segment at some point.
All right, I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. And I just got my renewal sent to me from them. And I'm changing policies. And you would think, well, why would you do that? Well, I guess over the course of the last year, they said, hey, looks like there's something better for you here. So they sent me an email with a new policy and saying, do you want to change? Do you like this better? So looks like, yeah, I'm going to change so I can save even more money. I was already saving over $1,000. I think I'm saving another $105 or something like that a year. Why not? Now I'm up to $1,100 I'm saving per year with TGS Insurance. And it's so simple. All you got to do is send a text. They've already shopped every home in our area. You just text the word money to 232323. They're going to respond back, say, hey, what's your address? You send that to them. Within 15 seconds, you'll have a full and firm quote, A-rated coverage right there in your inbox. If you don't want to make a change, no big deal. Move on. But if you do, you could really save some real money. Average customer saving $900. Once again, text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
Can I have everyone's attention?
You're listening to The Blitz.
Rock and roll, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Man, COVID Kim Mulkey. Every time that face shows up on that TV, I want to throw up. My goodness. What the hell happened to her? It's just like
the way her eyes move. She looks almost like one of those animatronic things that went like evil.
Yeah, but dump the COVID testing. How dumb are you? These idiots. Mott says, "Does UH basketball make it to the Final Four? Put any stress on Dana Holgorsen?" No, not really. In what I consider UH a football or basketball school, it's always been a basketball school first. It's just, it's easy to forget that because they've sucked so bad over the last 20 years, or the last 30 years, really. But You know, this was a school that was a perennial Final Four team. This was a school that played the game of the century. You know, the first game in the Astrodome, where one of the things that helped usher in the modern age of college basketball, Elvin Hayes against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, these, you know, Houston's been a part of basketball history. I mean, it has always been a basketball-first school. But, you know, it's easy to forget that because most of you weren't alive when all that happened. Weren't even born yet. And, yeah, and he says, I think UH wins it all because Mattress Mac laid a million. Yeah,
Mac, when's the last time Mattress Mac has won one of these bets?
It's been a while.
He's been having to land on that insurance.
Yeah. So, somebody said she got diagnosed with Bell's palsy. That's why she looks like that.
Like, okay. Kim Robinson?
Yeah.
Or Kim Mulkey?
Or whichever.
She used to be Kim Mulkey Robertson. And
yeah, I guess
she ditched Robertson.
Yeah, I think she ditched her wife, and that was what happened.
I thought she was straight.
I don't know. I was just speculating.
I think she is. I think you assumed. You made an assumption.
Yeah, I did. Because that's what
not every lady basketball coach has a wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I might be totally wrong.
What about Pat Summithead when she was alive?
I don't know.
Did you see that your buddy Nick came out with a statement today?
I did not.
On the he did bet on Tampa Bay, by the way. Mattress Mike did.
Okay.
So
he did win one.
Man, I'm looking at these Texans transcripts that they send us. And I guess they had Christian Kirksey in for an interview. Somebody actually asked this. How tall are you? Who in the press conference asks how tall somebody is?
Yeah, that's on.
Shame.
Yeah. Maybe we could find, because I'd like to know who did. I bet it's that same chick that always asks the awful questions.
And, yep, she was married to Randy Robertson, who's a man.
Okay. You sure it's not Randy with an I?
He was once the starting quarterback for the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. So, there you go. Little known fact. You've learned something today about Kim Mulkey.
I learn something every day, AJ, because I'm open to new things. So, yeah.
I did feel a little bit bad. I mean, she doesn't seem like a very sweet lady, to be honest. And I didn't watch that game, nor do I have any dog in the fight of who's winning ladies' basketball matches. But how that goes missed as a foul call, that's a tough one for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to say like the fix is in, but it seemed kind of fix was in-ish.
I did watch the highlight of that. I mean, I didn't watch the game because
I didn't either.
That would be stupid. But
that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. That would, I mean, no right-minded male is watching that crap. But yeah, unless your daughter's playing.
Well, especially when, like, I don't know why they even decided to put it up against
it's
the
just
men's
dumb.
Games on television.
It's just dumb. But regardless, that had to be a foul. And, of course, Gino Auriemma has to be a complete jerk about it and say, oh.
Well, he's also not a sweet person.
No, and you know what? It's easy to root against the UConn women because that guy is such a dickweed.
Yeah. But also her comments after the game of.
Oh, she's not likable either.
Yeah, well, by the way, and she has no idea how to wear a mask yet. Like, how long have we been wearing masks? And she's, like, still, it's, like, over one eye, and, like, she can't seem to have any control over it. And then she's like, yeah, we don't need COVID testing for the Final Four. Like,
well, guess what? She doesn't need it.
Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, you won't need it. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, let's get rid of this COVID testing. Which, by the way, she's had COVID. Like, she knows it's real. I don't know. That's an odd statement when you're getting knocked out of the tournament to make.
Yeah.
But, you know, guess got some people charged up. Good for her.
Yeah. I just, police says Fred and AJ hate the women's sports. That'll get you canceled in 2021.
No, I don't hate women's sports. I just don't watch women's sports.
If I don't have interest in it, I'm not going to pretend like I do. And I'm just not interested in women's basketball. Maybe if UH were good and not the 65th best team or whatever it was this year that just missed the tournament, then maybe I'd care. But Probably not. There's certainly, like, I don't care about college baseball.
No, I don't either. And men play that.
And men, yeah. It's just, I, the one thing that in my old career, I had to care about all this crap. I had to know all about Cat Osterman and people like that. And I, it wasn't fun because I don't give a rat's ass about any of those sports. The cool thing about this job is I can care about
this is stuff you want to care about.
I care about what I'm interested in and what I think our listeners are interested in. And, you know?
And also, guess what? I mean, I don't know about you. My sports book doesn't let me even bet on women's college basketball. Why the hell would I be interested in it?
Oh, mine does, but I don't care. So, but yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of, it's the beauty of life. I can care about what I want to care about. And I'm sure there's three or four of you that care about women's basketball. I'm sure a UT fan is suddenly pretending to be interested again.
Sure.
And that's okay, but I don't have to be interested. But if I were interested, it'd be because I could bet on it, and that would be on my bookie. And, guys, you got two games tonight. AJ gave you a great breakdown of both of them. Where do you think you're going to bet? He had 2-0 last night. How about that? You might want to get on mybookie.ag. Gave you that hockey over on Tampa tonight. Get on mybookie. Promo code BET975 when you sign up. And you just use that promo code. You're going to get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. And whether it's college hoops, you still got NBA going on. You still got the hockey going on. No matter the sport, mybookie puts the action in your hands. And, of course, here's the great one. If I get into a game and it's not going well, like let's say that I liked Oregon State last night. At halftime, they're getting killed by 17. You could in-game bet Oregon State at a much better price. And guess what? They would have covered, and you would have made money. That live in-game betting is a lot of fun. Choose from thousands of lines and odds. You can turn any game day into a payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Exchange electricity,
skin to skin, impress on you. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King, the King of Kings. Your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. You know what that music means. Time for the legend, the fantastic writer, the radio guy, the TV guy, Jerome Solomon. Follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Jerome, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Life is good.
When's the last time you went to LaPorte?
Cougar's going to the Final Four, so this is all right.
When's the last time you went to LaPorte, Jerome?
LaPorte? I have not made a run to LaPorte in a minute. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Did I miss something early in the show? Is LaPorte
I got to go. And I it just doesn't sound like a place I'm going to like is all.
It's a place.
Let's talk about that game last night. I mean, there's obviously reasons why you could cast doubt on what this UH team has done so far in the postseason. But really, this is what they've been all regular season too. So this should come as no surprise. They win ugly. But they're a tough team to prepare for. They're a tough team to match up against. Have they surprised you at all in this tournament?
No, not at all. You're right. This is exactly who they are. And it's semantics, I know, but it's not winning ugly. They play ugly.
Yeah.
And they win. It's not like they're a team that averages 90 points a game and then they won scoring 50 in a game, so that was an ugly win. No, this is what they do. They shock the other team so often because teams think they played against tough defensive teams, but they're all over you. They don't mind fouling you. They dare the ref to call it. They're going to attack you. They shoot some shots that they ain't even trying to make them. they just throw it up there and say, go get it. You know what I mean? It's some of those you're like, you weren't planning on hitting that, where you just was putting it in the air so you can go back and get it again. So, and you know, teams are told you got to rebound, you got to rebound. But U of H goes after offensive rebounds like, you know, good teams go after defensive rebounds. I mean, they just play a different style of ball. And yeah, they've been fortunate to play, you know, high seeds throughout this run, you know, unprecedented in that. But this is how they are going to be against even better teams. It doesn't matter. This is what they do.
What does this do for Kelvin Sampson getting his second Final Four team? I think your colleagues at USA Today had him ranked as the 13th best coach in the Sweet 16, which I
pissed Fred off.
I respectfully disagreed with it, but
that's horrible.
Yeah. Well, USA Today sucks. I'll just say it.
But mind you, there were a lot of good coaches in this Sweet 16.
Yeah, there are a lot of good coaches, but Kelvin Sampson's a great coach, you know, and. To answer your question specifically, what does it do for him is that you can't be a great coach, even though I just told you he is, without having more on his resume. You know what I mean? It's like, I know he's a great coach, but he doesn't have a ring. You know, he hasn't won a championship. And that stretch where he had to go to the NBA to revive his career after leaving in Indiana, you know, he's not these guys who've been coaching all this time. He took 7-8 years, whatever it was, away from the game. Then he came to U of H, where you weren't going to get this team to where he's gotten it to until you've been there a few years. So it's his record is what it is. It's a good record, but it ain't a great record. And it can't be great until you win. But man, getting back to the Final Four legitimizes what he's done, because he's done it in so many different places, so many different styles. It's just, and if you know him, like I know him, man, you like the dude. You love the guy. You want him to succeed. And I can't say enough about how good of a coach he is, but I wouldn't even argue anybody that he's a great coach. I say it. If somebody says he's not, I can't argue with him, because he doesn't have the hardware. You know what I mean?
Well, and to be honest, I mean, you'll be hard pressed to find it. Like Fred and I got in a big argument once about Guy V. Lewis being in the College Basketball Hall of Fame, despite the fact that he never won a championship. And I argued that it's hard to be considered a great coach if you don't win a championship. But that's, I mean, Kelvin Sam, that would certainly legitimize him. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to argue with him, like with the way that he builds teams and the way that he gets guys to buy into what he does. That's certainly the makings of a great coach right there. If you can get guys to buy into you, and it seems like it seems like everybody on that team has bought into him.
And otherwise, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, you buy in, because if you don't,
you ain't playing. Yeah.
I mean, but that's, coaches do that. The best coaches, you know, they know how to recruit guys who fit what they want. So they don't have a lot of problem players, because they bring in guys who already know what the deal, and then they shape them into knowing the deal even more. And you know, I asked Quentin Grimes about this the other day. About, you know, I know there have been times, because when I covered Kelvin at OU, that Hollis Price and Quantas White were talking about times where they were punished for things they didn't do. and Quentin Grimes like, oh, man, yeah, it's like you don't even make the mistake, but you.
You thought about making a mistake.
You're mad. Yeah, right. You're mad about being punished for it, but you know it's going to make you better. So you take it, because you believe in the coach, and you know he's doing you wrong because somebody else made a mistake in practice, but you're running the stairs, or running a lap or something. And it's, you can't get good players to do that if they don't fully buy in. You know what I mean? You're going to always have them complaining, and his players don't complain. They love him. And as he's that good at that, for sure.
You know, that may be the biggest, you know, thing, the biggest mark in Kelvin's book, at least for me right now, is what he's done with Quentin Grimes, because
lost you.
Oh, what he's done with Quentin Grimes is maybe the most impressive thing because Quentin Grimes. There. Yeah, can you hear us, Jerome? Well, we'll try and get Jerome back. Can you hear us now, Jerome?
Talking. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I was saying the most impressive thing to me right now is what he's done with Quentin Grimes, who is a guy that was one of the top high school players in the country. He was like the recruit that everybody wanted. Everybody thought he would be a one and done, and he failed at that. And it's when you've got that mindset of I'm gonna play 1 year of college ball and then be in the NBA, to then leave Kansas and go play for a coach like Kelvin Sampson, who doesn't give a damn that you're a five star, how highly recruited you were. He's gonna make you work. And honestly, it's the best thing for Quentin Grimes long term. And Quentin Grimes probably isn't ever going to be what people thought he might be coming out of high school. But I think what Kelvin's done to turn him around is maybe as impressive as anything else he's done.
It you're right about that, but I do want to enter into that by saying it says a lot about Quentin Grimes too.
Oh, absolutely.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
I mean, because I was like, you know, most guys like that feel like somebody did something wrong to them. And it, you know, he obviously didn't take it that way. He could have been still at Kansas. He decided to leave.
Yeah.
And when you transfer, I mean, from an outsider standpoint, I just assume guys transfer to go find an easier place to play.
Exactly.
not a harder place to play, a more difficult one, or a place where you can go and be a star. And clearly, so it says a lot about Grimes. But yeah, it speaks to what Kelvin presents, because if a guy like that wants to come play for him, and he knows he's got to earn his right, and he's not going to be treated like a prima donna. He's not going to be special, but he can grow into being special, because one thing Kelvin Sampson does, he's going to let you be who you are. Now, if you can play, he's going to let you play. He's going to shape you and mold you into, you're going to have to dive on the floor for loose balls. You have to chase bouncing balls. You're going to have to run into some people and eat some elbows and deliver some elbows. But if you can go, he's going to let you go, you know, and that's he's not one of those coaches who, you know, prevents stars from being stars. He just works so good with guys who aren't stars. It's pretty impressive.
Well, let's get down to the real question. Can this team do what they've been doing against a team like Baylor?
Oh, I don't think there's any question they can. I've been saying it all season. I just love this team. I love what they're made of. And I can see the confidence in them growing. And it's real easy to say, well, they're growing confidence against teams that aren't as good as they are. But I don't care. That's as long as they believe, that's what matters most. And they're finally going to be up against a team that we can't even argue that this team is better. Baylor's better.
Yeah.
Baylor has better players. Baylor's a better team, even. But I'm not picking Baylor today. I don't know what'll happen by the time we get to Saturday. But I stand by that good teams like Baylor are subject to freak out when things aren't going well for them, because things go well for them all the time. You know, they don't have many bad games. You know, they don't have many bad stretches in games even. Baylor's going to have a bad stretch against these boys. U of H is going to make you play a different way than you want to play and present something that you don't run into very often. And how do you deal with that, with the pressure of knowing you're one and done, you lose, you're out? And U of H, they go on an 8-minute stretch without scoring. They do it every game. It won't freak them out at all to have such a thing happen, because they're going to keep playing defense. So it's going to be fun. Yeah, Baylor's a better squad, but I'm not picking against U of H right now.
The scary thing is, and Baylor was down. They had a bad half against Villanova in this tournament, and really they had a bad game against Villanova in this tournament. They still ended up winning that game by double digits.
Couldn't make a shot.
No, know? And my concern is that, you know, like the only way for U of H to win is if Baylor beats themselves. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but like Baylor has to go out there and do what they did against Villanova and miss a bunch of wide open shots.
Because yeah, see, I'm not so sure about that one though. I know where you're coming from with it, but it's you're leaning toward probably the Baylor's already had their bad game. And what I'm saying is U of H will make you have a bad game as opposed to you. Villanova didn't make Baylor have a bad game.
Baylor made Baylor have a bad game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
U of H is going to make them maybe not have a bad game, but they're going to make them have a bad stretch here or there, and a bad half perhaps. And how Baylor deals with that is we'll figure out. I mean, but I think it's going to be a great game because U of H is going to be telling themselves we can play with these guys, and Baylor's like, hey man, we know we can play with anybody in the country because they can. I mean, it's just, it's going to be fun to watch. It's much more likely though that Baylor would run away from the U of H will run away from it, no doubt. But I don't see that happening. And I'm a biased homer, hardcore. I can't even fake it. I can't even hide it on this. I heard Fred when you mentioned it yesterday when you opened the show up. You sounded so excited. I was like, yeah, because it's been a long time since we've had this team do this, and it's like you even if you put it down your fandom away for a while, this brings it back. You know, I mean, this brings back the joy of the sport. And as I wrote in a column today, Guy Lewis is why I love basketball. He made me love basketball by what he did at U of H. And so, yeah, Guy Lewis is not there. This is not Five Slam Jam. It's got nothing to do with none of those jokers. They had a whole different building, et cetera. But it's the Cougars. You know what I mean? And man, as much as I respect Kelvin Sampson, him doing it here at U of H is just, it's sweet, man. It really is. And it almost doesn't matter what happens on Saturday, but
But it kind of matters.
It kind of matters. Right. But what I'm more saying, like, don't listen to my breakdown of the game. Cause I'm riding Cougars way harder than probably necessary. Cause it's fun. And I
get it. Yes. Riding Cougars is very fun. We get it.
There will be no Deshaun Watson jokes today. We do Cougar jokes. Is that where you're going to go?
It was there. What was I supposed to do? I've run out of touching Deshaun's penis jokes. So
No, you haven't.
I'll probably have a few more.
I will make sure not to do a Roddy Cougar statement on any other radio show this week. That caught me off guard. Well done.
All right, bud. Well, appreciate the time as always. And if you get a chance, check him out on TV. Check out his columns. You can hear him here on Sunday mornings as well. That's Jerome Solomon. Jerome, we will talk to you again soon, my man. Hopefully with some really good news next week.
Thanks for having me on, fellas. All later.
Right. Hey, on the way out, Buffalo Wild Wings and Carbach are celebrating the return of baseball. Head out to Buffalo Wild Wings off I-10 and Blaylock this Thursday as we broadcast live from 4 to 7 for baseball's return with an ice-cold Crawford Bock. Brewed in collaboration with the Houston Astros, a portion of Crawford Bock's proceeds go to the Astros Foundation. No better way to watch the Astros than with a cold Crawford Bock. So come see us Thursday, 4 to 7 p.m. at Buffalo Wild Wings in Hedwig Village.
I'll be there.
I will too.
Into the dirt. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report, presented by Texas Citizens Bank.
Stocks struggled today as interest rates moved higher on some better-than-expected consumer confidence numbers. The market getting beaten up as well in the energy sector as oil prices retreated more than a dollar. That put pressure on energy stocks, though banks rallied on higher interest rates. They make more money on their loans as long-term rates go up. The Dow lost 104 points after yesterday's record to 33,066. S&P down 12 to 3,958. NASDAQ down 14 to 13,045, while the small cap Russell rebounded a bit, up 1.7% after getting roughed up in recent sessions. Again, oil was down $1.10 to $60.46 the barrel. Gold tumbling $31 to $16.83 the ounce. With the 10-year note yield climbing to 1.72% and the dollar firming up, that put downward pressure on commodity prices and affected some portions of the equity markets. Generally a little bit quieter today without so much forced selling in specific names having to do with hedge funds that might have been over-levered in some of their more aggressive bets.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report was presented by Texas Citizens Bank, the official bank of ESPN 97.5.
coverage of the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. Join us for Lucille's 1913 inaugural golf tournament, Monday, April 12th at Herman Park. Proceeds will benefit nonprofit Lucille's 1913 and the Imani School. The tournament will be an 18-hole scramble with a 12 p.m. shotgun start. Food will be provided by Lucille's 1913, including box lunches in the style of the individually packaged meals that Lucille's 1913 creates for the community. Following the tournament, all golfers will be treated to a seated, socially distanced dinner on an exquisite, one-of-a-kind stage set up as a hazard on the 18th fairway. Complimentary beverages will be provided throughout the tournament by Silver Eagle and Highway Vodka. Register now at eventbrite.com. A little soccer matters tonight with Glenn Davis. I'm going to read you a couple of texts here that I think are from the 1950s. Y'all like to talk about the slimy, skeezy stuff that you can bet on and some baseball, ha-ha. I don't think we ever talk about betting baseball.
No.
I'm a better, but I keep it on the down low. There's a bad stigma.
Why?
Also, it's pretty masturbatory, like fantasy football. It's crowbarred into conversations, and people give you looks when they don't care about it.
No, we host a radio show where people, the truth of it is, most people who watch sports bet on sports, at least, or they play fantasy, or they do something. Like, I think there are much fewer people now who just watch sports because they like to watch sports, and that's it. People, the stigma of gambling is all but gone at this point. I think that that's in your head. So if you're still getting dirty looks because you're talking about betting on sports, then maybe you should, I don't know, get out of your, I don't know what kind of, I don't know if you are, you're Amish, like what is going on here, but that I don't know any groups where I get dirty looks for betting on sports. It's very normalized now.
I say it's really impressive that he was able to wire a typewriter to send in a text to an email address here, see?
Yeah, that's
I haven't heard that in a while. Like, it's slimy sports betting.
I hate to break it to you, but as
welcome to 2021.
We and you know, yeah, did it used to be taboo to talk about? Absolutely. So did poker at one point. You know, horse racing's been that way. I've been around people who thought I was scum because I like to bet on those things, and those people can suck it. But because the reality is it has become mainstream. We've been on the front of it for a long time. We've always been honest about it. And no, it's not masturbatory, because guess what? People actually pay for our picks. They like to get our picks, so they like to bet on them. They like to get our insight. We like to get their insight. That's how it works. So just because you're scared to talk to your mommy about your betting problem, don't be bringing that on the rest of us, because our guys like it. That's why they're here.
Be careful on your evening walk there, boys. Johnny said he was going to get into a rumble down at the soda fountain.
If I could show you my texts from people on the weekend just wanting plays and stuff, and so it's scummy, don't fight it. That's his response. Now,
okay.
You can think that all you want. You know what I think is scummy? People like you who think sports betting is scummy. I think you're a lowlife. I think you got real issues, sir. And you know what?
I just think it's an odd thing to get worked up over.
Yeah, you know what? The thing is, go think what you want, but you ain't bringing it to this show. You know, you're not bringing it to our listeners. Go thump your Bible. Go bang your sister. You're fine. 713-780-3776.
Asymmetric risk. I'd watch Soccer Matters if Glenn talked gambling. Does Glenn ever get into betting lines on the soccer matches?
No, not really.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's that's one of those things where I think there's some gambling advertisers that would make a lot of sense for Soccer Matters.
And honestly, like, you guys need to, if you want to know about soccer betting, and I wonder if like Glenn and Jerry Bow ever talk about this stuff, but Jerry Bow follows soccer leagues that I didn't even know existed, and he wins in all those leagues. It's very impressive that he's able to follow all that.
He's a master at it. I will never forget winning money on Young Boys, which I didn't even know what league it was in, but he just said, here, bet on Young Boys. And I thought, well, that sounds really very Catholic priest of you, but I'm going to do it. And it worked out. Is it Sweden or Switzerland? They're one of those leagues. I think you should know this. You produce Soccer Matters sometimes.
I mean, I produce it all the time, but I don't remember There's so again, there's 6,000 leagues.
Yeah,
and then some of them cross over to make their own league. So you'll take it would be like taking the Lions and the Chargers, and then also, oh, by the way, they also play in the CFL. Oh, and by the way, the Dolphins and the Bengals, they play in the XFL as well as the NFL. It's confusing as hell. I can't keep track of that.
Somebody says Switzerland. So now you know. So the next time you're asked where a young boy comes from, you say Switzerland.
Young boys?
I'm not going to say I know where anybody like that comes from.
It's a soccer thing. Stop thinking. Yeah, I made a Catholic priest reference, which I probably shouldn't have. But
it's a sting operation is what it is.
Probably so. But that's why I have a good lawyer. Lawyer Dave. Who can help with just about anything. Probably not that, but he certainly can help if you've been in an accident. What's going on, Dave?
Thanks for the nice intro, Fred. I really appreciate that. Yes, if you've been molested by a Catholic priest, I'll take that case too. But if you've been hurt anywhere in the state of Texas by a bad doctor, by a bad prescription, by an industry plant blowing up, by a car or an 18-wheeler, give me a call, please. 713-626-8900. Me, Lawyer Dave, El Hombre de Hacha, is here to help you.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost you anything to make the phone call. You're not going to pay a dime out of pocket until you win your case. And if it's not something that you handle, you'll send them to the right guy.
That's exactly right. A blitzer contacted me via Twitter today and asked me a question that I don't do, and I sent him to the right people to help him. But if you ask me a question about something I do, like one of the blitzers yesterday, got several $100,000 for that man's very serious accident case.
Wow. Can you do that for me? Do I need to get in an accident so you can do that?
Don't, as long as it's not AJ running into you.
Yeah, all right. Tell them how they can get in touch with you, my friend.
Call me up, boys. 713-626-8900. Or Lawyer Dave Law is my Twitter handle. Or LawyerDave.com is my website, which I highly can't even think of the name of it. But most importantly, call me at 713-626-8900 or find me through my friend Fred.
Yeah, you can always hit me up if you can't remember any of those. I get four or five people a week who are always saying, what's that number? And I give it to them. So,
much appreciated.
And then I tell them if they need a lawyer, what do they do?
They had better dial Dave.
Laced me up and got me straight. Answered a thousand questions. Did he predict in my face?
ESPN 97.5.